Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in, guys. It's the Panther Rants Podcast. It's Wild Harris here. Excuse the somber introduction. I'm battling a cold right now, and I'm nasal as all get out. And I still feel like garbage, but that's just part of life. Anyways, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I mean, yeah, we lost we got our asses kicked in the championship game, and it actually, you know, Dabo was pretty, he was pretty nice to us in this championship game. I mean, he could have probably dropped 100 on us if he really wanted to, but he kept it respectable and, you know, only beat us by 32 points. I think there was times where he let us, you know, where he threw us some bones. And, you know, unless we could run the ball, we couldn't do anything else. Am I disappointed we lost? No, I'm not. I'm just disappointed in the effort overall. Yeah, when the game started out, the defense let up a safe 5-yard touchdown run. And I thought we were pretty much screwed then. But then the defense settled down. And for the most part, the defense played their asses off. And kept us in that game for most of it. But Pitt, you know, I think what really blew it wide open was before halftime, Pitt had a chance just to take a knee and get the ball in the second half. They decided to throw the ball, and it was disastrous. You all saw that. And, you know, Clemson scored. Next thing you know, we're down 18 at halftime, and that was pretty much it. Pit on opportunities to score, get the ball going, but it just wasn't going to happen. You all saw that. Unless they threw the football. And Kenny Pickett finished with 8 yards passing, which was a pretty shitty stat. I mean, that was horrible. But I think my partner Doozy, this game was definitely a learning experience because this gave you an opportunity to see where your program is at right now compared to like Clemson's. And what you need to do to get to where you want to be with this program. Otherwise, he's going to have to make some changes probably. And I think the first thing you do is, it starts with your offensive coordinator. You start with him. Because there's a lot of things amiss with the play calling. And yeah, as one person mentioned to me, the decision to throw the ball before halftime is not so much on Watson, it's on Narduzzi as well, because he's the head coach. If Pat decided it was his, you know, let's take a chance, let's throw the ball, try to see if we can score before halftime, I can see him doing that. But it ultimately backfired. If anything, you know, you have to realize what you have with your offense right then and there. You take a knee and figure something else out. But second half came and really nothing was figured out. And, you know, the reason Pitt beat Clemson 2 years ago is because of who they had. Nate Peterman was a, you know, fifth-year senior. They had James Conner, who's an NFL draft pick, third-round pick, and, of course, he's the starting running back for the Steelers. They had Scott Orndorff, who's been, you know, he spent some time in the pros here and there. There was Jester Wea. You know, he's obviously, he wasn't a draft pick. He was undrafted free agent. But he also had a loaded offensive line as well. I mean, he had Brian, you know, I think believe Brian O'Neill was on that team, who was also a top, also a big draft pick as well. And he had some other guys on that line that, you know, have been in and out of the pros. So that's pretty much why. And plus, like that, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much why they were able to run with Clemson that time around. Plus, that Quadrennis Henderson, he was in the pros. He still is, actually. I forgot about him. It's just there was so much leadership on that team. And so many really good players. That's why they were able to beat Clemson that year. This time around, a little different. We don't have a tight end because we can't sign one and we can't keep one committed. And we can't keep them from leaving the program. So we have no tight end. Our offense pretty much is, it's our running backs. Darren Hall and Quadri Olison. Do we have talent on the offense? Sure we do. We had some really talented receivers. Robert Lopes, Aaron Matthews, Taysir Mack. Those are a handful of them. The problem is, though, is we have nobody to throw the football to them. After the Miami game last year, we thought we had something with Kenny Pickett, but it just got progressively worse. I'm not sure if it's Pickett or if it's just the play calling itself. It just play. I mean, if you watch that game, the plays took time to slowly develop to a point where you had him throwing a little screen pass to Olison, and Olison almost got destroyed. It was bad, but I think with Narduzzi, if he looks at this, he has to realize I have a really good defense coming back, but I have to figure out the offense because the offense is dismal. So, I think, you know, if anything, if I'm the AD, I sit down with Pat and say, hey, I know you like this guy, he's your buddy, but he's got to go. You know, you have to make some changes. So, I mean, you can give him Pat's really hard up about keeping him. Give him that quality control. One of those quality control jobs that these guys get when they suck at their current, when they suck as a coordinator. They get relegated to quality control, and that's really, you know, that's just a freaking desk position for the most part. That's all I can do. But if you're going to make a change of coordinator, I think you also have to open up the quarterback position as well and make it open competition. Because Kenny Pickett may have been your starter this year, but he didn't really do anything to keep his job. He hasn't really done anything to solidify that he's the guy. That, you know, to try to lead your program. Sure, he had that Miami win, sure Pitt, you know, went to a Coastal Division title this year. But they got to the title on the backs of the running backs and the defense. I mean, picking that one good game, it was against a bad Clemson team. So I believe you have to reopen the whole thing and make him compete, because he's going to have to, because next year he's going to have a whole new backfield, and he's not going to have the running backs to bail him out again. And same with Sean Watson, he's not going to have the players to bail him out either. So they're going to have to work something out, because as this group graduates, there's a lot of challenges ahead, a lot of big ones. I think that if Pat wants to contend for another conference, you know, another conference title, he's going to have to make changes. Because if he keeps, you know, because the way things are going right now with Watson and with the guys they're losing on the offensive side of the ball, Pat might be looking at another 4 or 5 win season. I don't think he can afford that right now. Because the teams that Pitt beat, they're going to eventually get tougher. Miami's eventually get their heads out of their ass. Although we lost them anyway, but eventually they're going to get their heads out of their ass, and that's that. But until they do and they keep choking and the rest of the conference does, Pitt's got to figure something out. Because there's going to be some changes, because North Carolina's going to, you know, be bringing in, well, they're bringing Mac Brown, which I have no idea what logic is with that one. So I don't really think Pitt really has to worry too much about North Carolina because of who they hired. I don't get that hire. I think it's a dumb hire. Not sure what Georgia Tech does. I'm sure they'll figure something out with that hire. Hopefully something better than Mac Brown. We'll see, but yeah, I mean, oh, hey, you know, Pitt came out in full force, enjoyed the game, and I know you guys at least had fun in the rain and, you know, got drunk and stuff. It looked like you had a great time. But hey, you know, as far as the season goes, it was a fun ride. I'm not sure if we'll ever get back to this point where we're playing a conference title game, but, and yeah, it was blown out, but the ride was fun, and I really don't care at this point what the record is. I know Pitt will probably finish, there's a good chance Pitt could finish 7-7. If they do, they do. I mean, it is what it is. But I think now, you know, it would suck to finish the season losing your last three games. But for Pat, this is a measuring stick for him, is to figure out where he wants to go from here. Because he has to figure it out. He just signed an extension, and he may have one or 2 years before he, if he's, you know, if he's still screwing up. So we'll see. Anyways, guys, as you know, Pitt's playing Stanford in the Sun Bowl, and I know Stanford's not too excited about this, and, you know, there was an article saying that they drew a 6-loss team in their bowl game. I mean, trust me, the feeling's mutual. I mean, save for the Harbaugh years, and maybe like one or two select years since he's been gone, Stanford hasn't been that great since then. And they were, yeah, there was a lot of big things that were good, you know, set for them this year, and they underperformed. And well, not so much that they underperformed in a shitty conference. They're a very overrated conference, and they get so much prestige because of the Rose Bowl. That's it. If you take the Rose Bowl away from the Pac-12, it's pretty much right now, it's just the Pac-12. It's just USC and a bunch of programs. That's it. There's nothing else to it. The Pac-12 pretty much is the Big 12 on steroids. That's it. And the sad part is at least the Big 12 has more prestige programs like Texas and Oklahoma. Pac-12 just has USC and that's it. UCLA pretty much is us, with more fans in attendance. That's it. That's all UCLA is. Great basketball, that's about it. I mean, they're pretty much the Kentucky of the West. Bad football, but great basketball. You know, Washington's had some good running. I mean, Washington had the Steve Empton years when it, you know, back in the early 90s, and that was about it. You know, Oregon had the Chip had some flashes with Chip Kelly, but that's about it. I mean, nobody really takes the Pac-12 seriously, or if ever. But anyways, we got them, and you know, of course, we have one thing in common: Walt Harris coached for both teams, and so it's the Walt Harris Bowl. Awesome. We got to trot Walt out for the coin toss. And Dave wants that as well because you know it's been 10 years since the since we went out there and lost 3-0 to them to Oregon State, I believe it was. And to this day, I mean, I was pretty much doing one blogging for the Panther Rants blog at that point. And I swear to God, after that game, I just stopped blogging after that. I was done. For one thing, I was tired of writing. It wasn't fun anymore. It just felt like it was a job. And I wasn't really getting paid for it anyway. And I'm like, well, nobody reads this shit anyway, so I'm just going to stop writing. And, you know, you can only keep up with so many onion... You can only keep up with so many onion headlines for so long until they repeat themselves. And eventually, you just run material, and that's one thing as well. I ran material, and plus, you know, my humor pretty much went away after that loss. I mean, losing 3-0 in a bowl game just wasn't funny to me. Wasn't really funny to me anymore. I mean, the Washington era in general wasn't funny to me no more. I was ready to friggin' after that 3-0 loss. I was ready to friggin' tell Dave Washington to get the hell out. Of course, not to his face. Not to his face, though. You know, I would just go on a message board and do it. Dave, get the hell out. You know, post. That's all I would have done. Nothing else too major. Oh yeah, you guys probably heard somebody try to call me this morning, and that's the bitch about podcasting on a phone. Is that you're gonna have somebody call in, and yeah, this was one of those car warranty phone calls where basically they want me to extend me on my car warranty, and it's always a car I no longer own. You know, your warranty is expired on your 2008 Suzuki Grand Vitara. Yeah, I towed that car, but 5-6 years ago? Yeah, an uninsured driver rear-ended me, so, yeah, I don't have that car no more. Yeah. And I just paid that car off, too, I remember. I just paid it off a few months back, and on top of that, I just put new brakes and rotors on it, front and back. And I remember a week later, I'm trying to, you know, the left lane I was in, I guess, came to a stop because too many cars were trying to make a left turn in the median. And some uninsured driver was texting and driving, and she hit me. and tried to say, tried to blame it on the rain, but when it wasn't raining, and blame her tires. The tires had no tread on them. It's just she wasn't paying attention. And of course, the whole time we were doing all this with the cops, she was on her phone. Lord knows doing what. And I pretty much drew to a conclusion. She was texting and driving and just wasn't paying attention. I mean, if you're going to text and drive, one thing I do is I do it at a red light when I know the car ain't going. But for those who don't want to do that, at least have some decency to do it in the right-hand lane. I mean, if you had decency, you wouldn't do it at all because of all these hands-free devices we got. But I know that's never going to happen, so... But for some, I mean, they just do it in the fast lane, and you just can't do that. But anyways, I've been thrown off thing. I've been thrown off topic. But yeah, after the 3-0 thing, I was pretty much done. And yeah, I was... Next year was poop or shove for me for once, that, of course. They had a hell of a year. Lost some head-scratching games. But they still battled for the Big East title. And they lost in one-step fashion, blowing a big lead. That was that. I mean, obviously, the people have told me that Dave one-step was on the hot seat after the 3-0 loss. People were fed up. 2009 was the last gasp for him. And it just didn't happen. And pretty much he was on borrowed time. And I think when the report went out about the Pitt football having the most campus incidents with football players, that report came out. I think that was pretty much the beginning of the end of Dave. And obviously that season sealed his fate. But anyways... Let's enjoy the bowl game. Let's wrap up and let's get 8 wins. Now look at the playoff picture. There was obviously people lobbying for Georgia to be in the group of four. And here's the thing. If Georgia really wanted to be in the group of four, they would have won their conference title. I mean, if we're going to do this whole participation trophy and timing crap, let's keep it consistent here. I don't care how close they played Bama. You need to win. So if you're going to punish other programs for not winning their conference title, keep it consistent because last year you didn't do it. So here you go. I mean, of course, Ohio State won their conference title, but Ohio State beat a crappy Northwestern team. And I mean, Ohio State just didn't deserve to be it anyway. It was funny because during the game, I did some trash talk with some West Virginia poster, and I guess he covers Wake Forest too. And he was doing the ESP for Eat Shit Pit. And he was being funny. So I replied to one of his tweets saying, ESP, Air See Pit on TV. And he got mad and replied back, ESP, enjoy the Sutter Pinstripe. And I laughed. Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to enjoy the Sutter Pinstripe because they're friggin' Tier 1 Bulls in the ACC. Because obviously West Virginia being as condescending as they are about everything. I mean, they both say they're freaking Alabama or Michigan as far as, you know, tradition goes. And they're really not. I mean, that's what a Texas Tech fan said to them. They're like, we're proud of your accomplishments, but you guys act like you're Michigan or Alabama. But you're just no different than anybody else. for all their hard work this year, West Virginia did this year in the Big 12 and almost getting to the conference title game. Not to mention a 10-team league, which they boasted about. Well, you know, this worked out for Oklahoma because, you know, they got to play the best team of their second best team of their conference, really. Whereas Clemson's playing Pitt, you know, because Pitt's bad. And I'm going to talk about this because other former kids are playing Pitt. And, of course, they're sitting there boasting about the Big 12. And, of course, the Big 12 does what the Big 12 does best. They bent West Virginia over and made them grab their ankles, pretty much, and sent them to the Camping Bowl with Syracuse. Because West Virginia had this whole thing in place where they felt they were going to go with the Alamo Bowl. Basically, it was a case of West Virginia being West Virginia, where they thought they were more valuable than what they believe. In other words, they're like Le'Veon Bell. They pretty much feel that they're worth more than what they are. Whereas initially, when Expansion Apocalypse was happening, Pitt gets it out and says, "Hey, you know, we got to invite to the Big 12. We want you to come with us." And West Virginia says, "Well, we're holding up for the SEC because the SEC, I think, will take us." SEC ends up taking freaking Missouri. Missouri over West Virginia. Think about that for a second. They took freaking Missouri, and Missouri ain't that special. So they held up for the SEC, and of course, in the end, where did West Virginia end up? They ended up in the Big 12. So for all that, they still ended up in the Big 12. ACC didn't want them. And of course, West Virginia had to do what's best for them, you know, at that point. You know, West Virginia didn't care about anybody else in the expansion because they felt they were, you know, going to get the SEC. And they had to look out for them. But then when Pitt got their invite before they did, they cried like whiny little assholes. And of course, Penn State gets the Citrus Bowl against Kentucky. So I don't mind the Sun Bowl, but it's hilarious how Penn State and West Virginia, for as condescending as they are, Penn State gets ends up in the Citrus, which still isn't a bad bowl. It's not the Rolls Royce of bowl games, so to speak, or the Champagne bowl games. So they get Miller High Life. They got Miller Genuine Draft, basically. In West Virginia, they get the Alamo Bowl. They got the Camping Bowl. Too funny. But I guess we'll talk about the bowls later this week. As far as the playoff goes, it was no surprise. I mean, Oklahoma was your logical one, and they get Bama first round. I think, though, if Georgia would have won, Georgia would have gone in. I think you put Georgia-Bama as a 2-3 to avoid another all-ACC title game. But we're not going to have that this time around, but we'll probably have Bama and who else. I don't think I really don't see. I mean, Clemson Notre Dame, I think, is going to be a close game. I think Notre Dame will give Clemson a game. I think Clemson ultimately wins, but I just don't think that Clemson is as great as people say. I mean, a lot of talent. I just think at quarterback they're a little shaky. because he was begging to be he was begging at times to be picked sixth, and it just didn't happen. But they have a really good running game, and they have a really good defense. But I did watch the Steelers last night, and I won't get into that too much. They just, you know, they just blew a really bad game, and not just that. But we'll talk later this week, because I'm on 30 minutes now with this, and I'm nasal as all get out, and I can barely breathe. Oh, well, guys. Hell to Pit, Sun Bowl, baby. Let's go to 8-6. F Stanford.